Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
And today we're talking about literature. More specifically, we're talking about the novel 1984. Have you read this book before, Stephanie?
Not entirely. I read some of it. We talked about it in a class of mine, but yeah, it's about politics, really, and about how systems of government, some are more positive than others.
Indeed, and I remember reading this book back in high school, and then I kind of forgot about it, so a couple of years later I read it again, and this novel we're talking about is 1984, which to us now sounds kind of strange because 1984 is way in the past now, but when this novel came out, 1984 was in the future, and to them, this is what the future would look like when a totalitarian government would take over.
Yeah, totalitarian government is a government that controls every aspect of the citizens' lives. The government tells you everything you can do and think. I would hate to live in this kind of society. I love my freedom.
Sounds like North Korea.
Yeah, we're going to spend a couple of days talking about this very popular, famous author, George Orwell. And 1984, his novel 1984 is the one we're going to focus on in today's program. So get set.
Let's do it. Let's read through the entire content of today's lesson right now, one time. In the Cold War era, it seemed that the world was on the brink of destruction. As the Soviets and Americans looked to bring nations under their polar spheres of influence, George Orwell's novel, 1984, depicted a nightmarish future scenario of governments that became too powerful. 1984 is set in a fictional country called Oceania, which is ruled by a single political party that attempts to supervise every move that its citizens make. In this dystopia, simply entertaining thoughts of rebellion is illegal. The central character is Winston Smith, a worker at the Ministry of Truth. His chief responsibility is to modify historical records to make them favorable to the party. Smith has become distrustful of the government and resents his lack of freedom. Frustrated, he begins to record his illegal thoughts in a diary. At about this time, Winston starts a covert affair with a co-worker, Julia. To escape government monitoring, they rent an apartment in a poor section of town where they meet in private. As their relationship develops, Winston feels even more hatred towards the government. One day, he's contacted by O'Brien, a powerful party member who recruits him for an underground resistance movement. Winston gladly agrees to join, unaware that he's being set up. The party's thought police storm the meeting room and take Winston into custody. He's tortured for turning against the party until he finally breaks down. At the end, Winston has lost all interest in Julia and will never dream of opposing the party again.
Let's talk about the title here, Orwell's Ominous Warnings. Orwell, of course, is the last name of the author we're talking about, George Orwell. Ominous is a word that means something bad is going to happen in the future. Sometimes you'll hear people describe clouds in the sky that look like they're very dark and they're about to bring down a lot of rain on us. They can be ominous looking, ominous clouds. Maybe somebody, a world leader like the North Korean leader who's kind of crazy, suddenly starts talking about how he's going to bomb people. Those are ominous threats that he's making. So ominous is an adjective that just suggests that something bad is going to happen in the future.
I don't want to say anything bad about the North Korean leader. They might send somebody here to Taiwan and cut my throat, so I'm going to keep my mouth shut. But in any case, we're talking about George Orwell, the author of this book. And today we will be talking about the summary of 1984. So let's get to it. Now, you may have heard of the Cold War. In this case, it's a war mainly between Russia and the United States. Actually, not so much Russia, but the Soviet Union, the USSR, which no longer exists. But back in the day, some of us are old enough to remember, hey, we had missiles pointed at each other. Next day could be our last. There may have been a big nuclear war and stuff. So that was the Cold War era that sort of began right after World War II and lasted up until about, what, 1990 or so?
1991,
when the when the Soviet Union sort of fell apart there.
Uh-huh.
We've got different problems in the world now, but if we're talking about the Cold War era, it seemed that the world was on the brink of destruction. And here the word brink refers to the edge of something, on the brink of destruction, on the edge of destruction. Something is about to happen.
Yeah, so if you are saying you're on the brink of destruction, it means you're very close to being destroyed, which sounds very horrible. But, you know, in the Cold War era, it was kind of scary because both the most powerful countries in the world, the U.S. and the USSR, were threatening each other all the time. Well, if you bomb me, I'm going to bomb you back and we'll both be destroyed. So it was kind of a scary time. So we called the people that used to live in this country called the USSR, the Soviets, and then the Americans, of course, lived in the United States. They looked to bring nations under their polar spheres of influence. If you're on opposite sides of something, you're polar opposites, meaning you're very, very far apart. For example, the North Pole is in the very top part of the world and the South Pole is at the bottom. So if you're in different spheres, especially polar spheres, you're very, very different from each other. So they were looking to convince other countries in the world, you want to do what we do. You should actually have a government like ours in America. At the same time, the Soviets were saying, oh, no, our government is much better because they were practicing communism back then.
Exactly. So the Americans are trying to convince people in the world to be like them. Hey, we got hamburgers and pizza. Don't you guys want to be like that, too? We've got cars. We can drive anywhere we want. And the Russians were saying, no, we've got vodka and stuff like that. You guys can get drunk all the time and have a great time doing what you're told. So, again, the Russians and the Americans were trying to, you know, influence other people, put them in their spheres of influence. Sphere here is like a big ball, but here it talks about the scope or the area of your influence. So they were trying to, you know, get people to follow their lead. The Russians were, you know, they were taking over Vietnam and they're going to invade all the other countries. Hence, we had the Vietnam War. And so that's the era that we're talking about. So George Orwell comes along. He's a British writer. And he has a novel, 1984, and that depicted a nightmarish future scenario of governments that became too powerful. So again, this is a nightmarish future scenario. From the word nightmare, which means a bad dream, but a nightmare cannot only occur in your dream, it could be occurring in life. If your whole life is falling apart all around you, that could be a big nightmare. And this is a nightmarish future, so we're using the word nightmare as an adjective here, when things just were just so scary. These governments were very powerful, and no government could defeat the other one.
Well, if you're talking about countries on the brink of destruction, it means they're very close to damaging each other so badly, they're no longer even in existence. That's what destruction is. If you destroy something, you damage it so it can't even be repaired. It's beyond repair. So it was kind of a scary situation, a scenario, as Tom was talking about. It's a description of what could possibly happen. You know, it's just something people write up. Your worst case scenario is the worst thing that could possibly happen. And then you've also probably heard of the best case scenario. That's the best thing that could happen out of a particular situation.
A certain situation. So this is a future scenario. Again, the novel was released slightly after World War II, so 1984 was in the future.
Uh-huh.
And they were imagining all these governments becoming very powerful. In fact, I think there were only three governments in the world, three countries, and of course none of them was powerful enough to defeat the other one, so they're always at war. And 1984 is set in a fictional country called Oceania, which is ruled by a single political party that attempts to supervise every move that its citizens make. So a single political party, that's just one party. We can name different examples of that in the world right now where one party rules. I've mentioned North Korea before. I think they're only ruled by one political party, maybe Cuba as well.
China.
And it attempts to supervise all the moves that citizens make, so you're being watched. Big Brother is watching you.
If you supervise something, you're in charge of it. It also means you're watching and directing people. If you are a manager at work, you might be a supervisor. A supervisor is someone who manages other people's work. They make sure you're doing what you're supposed to. Well, these governments or these parties were trying to supervise every move that its citizens make. Now, we're calling this sort of situation a dystopia. Dystopia is a word that means an imaginary place where everybody's very unhappy. They hate life and they feel afraid all the time because they're not being treated fairly. The opposite of this word is utopia. If you see utopia, that's a good place that people imagine as being full of happiness.
But it's like paradise on earth.
Yeah, but this is dystopia, which is a terrible thing. And if you even think things like, wow, I don't really want to do what they just tell me or they just told me to do, you could be in big trouble. That's rebelling. If you rebel, it means you tell people you're not going to do what you're supposed to. And it's usually people in power that are trying to tell you what to do. If you rebel against them, you refuse to do what they ask. And that was actually illegal in this book, 1984, in this particular place.
That sounds pretty terrible. You know, teenagers might rebel against their parents when they start to getting their own ideas. I don't have to do what you say anymore, Mom and Dad. I'm smart. I can think for myself. But here, a rebellion is a state or a situation in which people are rebelling, and you cannot entertain thoughts. Here, entertaining does not mean you're hiring a singer or something like that. It means that you have these thoughts. So, yeah, even just having these thoughts of rebelling against the government is illegal. If somebody finds out, they'll put you in jail, and you'll probably be executed. Well, I think it's about time now to take a break and listen to our Chinese teacher, so let's do that right now.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 从今天开始，连续三天，我们都要来看乔治·欧威尔的1984这个小说。首先来看一下这里的时空背景。在第一段的第二个句子提到 ,As the Soviets and Americans looked to bring nations under their polar spheres of influence, George Orwell's novel 1984 depicted a nightmarish future scenario of governments that became too powerful. 在这里提到呢，当时苏联跟美国试着要把其他的国家纳入他们各自的势力范围的这个时期。我们来看一下在这里提到的 look to do something, 指的就是指望或者是仰仗的意思。A polar 在这里呢可以解释成为截然对立，苏联跟美国当时是对立的状况。 Sphere 当作名词则是有范围，大家都想要呢各自树立起自己的势力范围。这时候呢，乔治·欧威尔他就借由1984这个小说来描述一个其中政府变得太过强大的一种噩梦般的未来情境。 Scenario 在这里当作名词，很重要的一个单字，解释成为可能的情况。下一句谈到 1984 is set in a fictional country called Oceania, which is ruled by a single political party that attempts to supervise every move that its citizens make. 有一个虚构的国家叫做 Oceania, 是由一个单一政党所统治。By a single political party, 而这个政党他所要做的就是要监督人民的每一个行动 ,to supervise every move that its citizens make. 在这里的 supervise 当作是动词，有监督跟指导的意思。举个例子来说，他的工作是监督货物装船，你就可以说His job was to supervise the loading of the ship.
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Welcome back, everybody. Let's continue to talk about 1984. So we've got people living in a dictatorship, a dystopia, and these are people in Oceania, and it's ruled by one single political party. Well, the central character is Winston Smith. He's a worker at the Ministry of Truth. Ministry is just a section of the government. It has different ministries like the Ministry of Defense, the Ministry of Agriculture, for some countries. But here it's the Ministry of Truth. Maybe that's all about propaganda.
Yeah, I don't know. That sounds like a pretty scary department in a government. Now, this person's chief responsibility, that's his primary responsibility, is to modify historical records to make them favorable to the party. This sounds kind of scary, too. I know governments that do this. In fact, sometimes in the U.S. it even happens.
Sure.
People want to look good. They don't really want to stick to the truth. So if you modify something, you change parts of it while keeping other parts the same. You don't change everything. You just change some parts of it. So they're changing history to make it look like the party was actually better than it was. So they want the party to look good. So his job is to just carefully take out the negative things and make it look like the party was just wonderful.
And well, he became distrustful of the government, and he resents his lack of freedom. So again, this is Winston Smith, the main character here. He's distrustful. Distrustful, that means you don't trust something or someone.
Distrustful, yeah. You lack trust in someone. You don't have any confidence in them. It's kind of a scary feeling, right? He's distrustful of the government. He doesn't trust them. He thinks they might be doing bad things. He also resents his lack of freedom. If you resent something or somebody, it means you're not very happy with them. You're angry with them. You're upset about something that you think's unfair. When I was growing up, some of my brothers and sisters resented the fact that they had to do chores. They had to help clean and do dishes. So they resented that.
Didn't you have to do family chores?
Yeah. But I figured, you know, just shut up and do it and have it done. Don't complain so much. So if you resent something, you really are kind of angry about it. Again, the important part of resenting something is you kind of think it's unfair. Right.
Exactly right. There's a sense of fairness there. Yeah. That somebody else got something that you deserved.
Right.
I resent what you said. Or I resent the fact that John got the promotion and I didn't. I've been working harder than him and longer at this company for years. But in any case, yes, Winston here feels that he should have more freedom. So he resents his lack of freedom. Frustrated, he begins to record his illegal thoughts in a diary. So he's frustrated. He's not getting what he wants. So I guess he tries to sort of alleviate his frustration here by keeping a diary. So he records his illegal thoughts in a diary.
You know, sometimes if you're upset, it helps to write your feelings and thoughts down in your diary or your journal. It's also called a journal. We put quotation marks around illegal because it's really not illegal to think what he's thinking. Typically, but in his country, if they get word that he's writing these really negative things down about the government, he's going to be in trouble. So that's why it's illegal.
Exactly. In fact, he does start keeping his diary in a drawer, and I guess he puts a little hair on there to make sure that nobody moves it or something like that. But actually, they do start reading it pretty early on. Well, again, this is Winston Smith. He resents his lack of freedom. He's starting to keep a diary. And at about this time, he starts a covert affair with a coworker, Julia. Covert here is just a fancy word for secret. He's not supposed to be seeing this woman, but he's doing it anyway. It's secret. It's covert.
Ooh. Well, he wants to escape the government monitoring. If somebody monitors you, they watch you, they might even tape record you on videotape to see what you're doing. Sometimes they watch you over a certain period of time. Well, the government's watching him, and he wants to escape their eyes. So what he does is he and Julia rent an apartment in a very poor section of town where there's not a lot of money, and they figure, well, they'll never think about looking for us here. And that's where they start to meet in private so that the government doesn't see them.
Right. And there's a guy there renting them an apartment. He seems harmless enough. And so they start seeing each other at this apartment, and they meet in private. They don't let any other people know about this. Okay, as their relationship develops, they get closer to each other. They start feeling the same way. Winston feels even more hatred towards the government. So I guess he feels that he should be free to see this person. Why not? If you fall in love with somebody, you should be free to see them whenever you want. So he resents the government, and he hates the government.
Ooh.
Hatred here is the noun form of to hate. That means you really dislike something. I hate chō tofu. I just won't eat it. It just stinks so bad. But here, hatred is the state of hating or really disliking something or someone.
Well, one day he's contacted by someone named O'Brien. O'Brien is in the powerful party, and he's a member of the party, and he recruits him for an underground resistance movement. A resistance movement is a group of people who are trying to turn against the government. They're rebelling against the government. If you resist, you refuse to do something or accept something new into your life. So that's what they recruit him to be a member of. If you're recruited, it means people think you're suitable for a particular group, maybe the military, or maybe even a company. You might be recruited to join a new company, which is kind of flattering, kind of cool. Well, he seemed to be the right kind of guy to be a part of this resistance movement because he hated the government so much.
He was recruited. The government will recruit soldiers for the army, for example.
Uh-huh.
And so here he was recruited for an underground mission or a resistance movement.
Right.
Now, resistance, well, of course, is the noun form of the verb to resist.
The party's thought police actually are the ones who break up this party. He actually agrees to join, and he's unaware at the time that he's being set up. If people set you up, they put you in a situation where it looks like you're guilty breaking the law or doing something wrong, but you're really innocent. You didn't do it. Sometimes criminals will say, the police set me up. They planted these drugs in my apartment and made it look like I was guilty, but I'm not. Well, he really was set up. This O'Brien turns out to be a very powerful member of the party who wasn't trying to rebel against the government. They were trying to catch Winston.
Set up again is a verb phrase here that means to get somebody to look like they're guilty when in fact they aren't. And now as part of the party, we've got what are called the thought police, and they storm the meeting room and take Winston into custody. Storm is usually a noun. Like a thunderstorm or something, a typhoon is a kind of storm. Watch out, the storm is coming. Take shelter. But here, storm is being used as a verb. And if you use it as a verb, we're talking about people or things moving as if they were a storm, which means kind of moving violently and quickly. So they storm into the room. They come through in the room, and they're making a lot of noise. They're moving rather quickly, and they take him into custody. If you take someone into custody, basically you arrest them. Mm-hmm. Custody means that you are kept as a prisoner.
Well, then he's tortured, which means they hit him and beat him and maybe even do things like cut him with tools and knives.
They put the electric wires on
Ooh,
him and
shock him, huh?
Yeah, put a bunch of electricity through his body,
Ooh.
Which probably is not going to feel too good.
And it says here that he finally breaks. If you break or break down, it means you're no longer able to refuse what they want. You'll give in. You kind of give up. He breaks down. At the end, Winston has lost his interest in Julia and will never dream of opposing the party again. So if you oppose something or somebody, you fight against them. You don't want to do what they want you to do, and he never is going to fight against his government again. He's just going to do what they tell him to do.
Indeed, and again, he's brainwashed again at the end, and he loves Big Brother and the party. Okay, everybody, that brings us to the end of our explanation. It's time now to listen to our Chinese teacher.
在这一本小说里面的主角叫做 Winston Smith, 这里提到他主要的工作。His chief responsibility is to modify historical records to make them favorable to the party. 还记得这个单一呢执政政党的政府想要监督人民的行动，所以主角的工作就是去 modify, 去改变，去修正一些历史的记录。 让这些记录呢对这个政党是比较有利的。在这里我们使用了一个形容词 favorable， 只是成为赞成的或者是有利的。Smith has become distrustful of the government and resents his lack of freedom. 这个工作做久了以后， Smith 他渐渐的不太信任这个政府。在这里我们用了一个形容词 distrustful， 指的就是不信任的，而且非常憎恨 resent， 他呢缺乏自由。resent 当作动词，有憎恨、愤恨的意思。如果你很痛恨做某件事情，你就可以说 resent doing something。举个例子来说，他因为呢被球队开除，所以觉得愤愤不平。He resents being dropped from the team。而为了要逃离政府的监控，在这里提到最后一句 To escape government monitoring, they rent an apartment in a poor section of town where they meet in private. 在这当中呢，主角呢爱上了另外一个女生，为了要逃离政府的监控，只好呢在这个镇上的贫民区租了一个公寓，然后在这里私下的幽会。Monitoring 在这里呢是由动词 monitor 转换成为名词，指的就是监控、监视的意思。To monitor the patient's condition 指的就是去监控病人的情形跟状况。再看下一段的第二句。One day, he's contacted by O'Brien, a powerful party member who recruits him for an underground resistance movement. 有一天，有一个叫做 O'Brien 的人找上了 Smith。在这里用 contact 其实就是有与谁联系，在这里用被动的状态表示人家找上他。这个人呢想要 recruit him for an underground resistance movement， 想要招收他呢成为一个地下反叛运动的组织成员。这里的 resistance 就是有抵制跟反对的意思。没有想到这是一个阴谋，所以到了最后，这里的最后一句提到 At the end, Winston has lost all interest in Julia and will never dream of opposing the party again. 故事最后的结局呢，他发现他再也不爱 Julia， 而且也从此不会再梦想着想要反对党的一些活动。在这里的反对、反抗就用动词 oppose 来表达。
That's all the time we have for today. Thanks so much for joining us. And please make sure you join us again next time for another edition of our program, as long as you have the freedom to do so. From all of us here at English Digest, my name is Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.